You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Geico asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance? Of course you would. And when it comes to great rates on insurance, Geico can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with homeowners or renters coverage. Plus, add an easy-to-use mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more, and GEICO is an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save. It's easy. Simply go to GEICO.com or contact your local agent today.
This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
GEICO asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance? Of course you would. And when it comes to great rates on insurance, GEICO can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with homeowners or renters coverage. Plus, add an easy-to-use mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more, and GEICO is an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save. It's easy. Simply go to GEICO.com or contact your local agent today.
This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
GEICO asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance? Of course you would. And when it comes to great rates on insurance, GEICO can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with homeowners or renters coverage. Plus, add an easy-to-use mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more, and GEICO is an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save. It's easy. Simply go to GEICO.com or contact your local agent today.
This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
GEICO asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance? Of course you would. And when it comes to great rates on insurance, GEICO can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with homeowners or renters coverage. Plus, add an easy-to-use mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more, and GEICO is an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save. It's easy. Simply go to GEICO.com or contact your local agent today.
This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
It's the Fight In. It's the Fight In. Clock. It's the Fight In.
Hello and welcome to episode 44, it doesn't matter, season 10 of the Fighting Cock podcast. I'm joined on the line by Majestic. How you doing, mate?
How are we doing? You all right?
I'm fantastic. You're from the same old Spurs podcast.
That's right. Yeah, set up a new podcast this year with my good friend Gazza. Not the Gazza, not Paul Gascoigne, but Anthony King, guy I went to school with, both long life, lifelong Spurs fans, suffering Spurs fans. And yeah, just I love Spurs. Obviously, I do my music and radio stuff. But yeah, it's always good to talk football, isn't it?
We're also joined by John Bass. How you doing, mate?
Not too bad, mate. Not too bad. Just I like that I'm just... Oh, no, well, oh, John Bass is here as well.
Oh, John Bass. John Bass.
And also, it's annoying John to be Bass. That... John Bass. I know, I did think about that. I should have probably like rebranded it for this
John
year.
John Bass!
But it only works when you do it, Majestic. It's annoying being like the third best voice on this podcast now. I think showing right up.
It's weird, isn't it? It's like, Madge's voice is like a warm bath. It's so lovely. It's such a lovely voice to listen to. Have you worked on this? Is this something you've worked on? Is this just you, when you was eight, this just happened?
Yeah, I was seven talking like this. No, do you know what? Obviously, from having a lifelong experience in doing radio, I was on pirate radio from when I was 15. So I've obviously had to sort of, you know, train talking on radio and stuff. I just naturally have quite a deep voice. A lot of people, when they meet me, oh, you don't look like how you sound. Yeah. Is what they say.
Well,
I've got a very similar voice to Idris Elba.
Yeah.
Me and Driz have very similar voices. And I used to call him up and do his voice to him. Like, he's an Arsenal fan, by the way, so that's not good. But I did beat him in his own house on FIFA as Spurs. So that was a big moment for us Spurs lot. And I'll just ring him up doing his loofah down. Alice, whatever this is, it's got to stop, all right?
That is superb. Do you know what? I've just seen Majestic. You've got 4 million streams on Apple Music for your song, Me and H. Was it Me and
yeah.
You? Sorry, Me and You, Robert, sorry.
Yeah, me and H is the remix. Yeah. Do you know what? Yeah, 4 million. I think 4 million on Apple. There's about 4 million on Spotify now. Yeah, so the latest single's just it's done all right. Done its bits and bobs. I just regularly put out music, mate. So I'm not. Do you know what it is? I always try not to look at numbers, but when they come up and you have to kind of take it in sometimes. You know what I mean, I'm sure you do it with the podcast and when you're reaching the amount of people that you do, it kind of quantifies the effort and the work you've put into something. Do you know what I mean?
Well, I'm kind of above it. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm above the numbers now. I don't really feel like I just
doesn't feel anything.
Yeah, because the numbers aren't nowhere near as good as that. So when they get good, I'll get into the numbers again. But thanks for coming on. Thank you for having me.
Really appreciate it. I do love your podcast. I like the fact that, you know, again, we try and pride ourselves on our podcast as being real fans in terms of, you know, we'll call it out how it is, and I'm sure we'll get into it today.
Yeah, for sure. I had listened to the pod. I've listened to several episodes, actually, since we started talking. And the production level is... I'm listening to it and going, fuck, shit, we should be doing better. This is really good. Like, it's you put a lot of work into it, a lot of effort into it. And I've got to say, out of all of the other podcasts, yours is, in terms of production levels, is just top drawer, absolutely superb. So,
thank you very much. Yeah, we put some effort into it, and obviously I'm very fortunate that my background allows me to do that and make it sound how it sounds. But, you know, and obviously with Gaz, you know, Anthony Gazza, he's me and him have played football together since we were kids, and, you know, played at like a decent level, kid level and stuff. So, you know, the analysis is good. That Gazza's old man, he used to play for Enfield. He's actually Enfield FC's all-time leading goal scorer. So he's got a good pedigree. Steve King, actually. I remember back in the day when, like, you know, when like Spurs used to play Enfield at friendlies, end of the season and all that kind of stuff. I do remember some games Steve was in. So, yeah, big up Steve King. I know he listens to this pod as well.
Does he?
Yeah, you'd be surprised he listens, mate.
Well, I'm learning. So tell us about the pod and why you set it up. Because, like I say, it's fantastic. Same old Spurs is a good name because it's very apt right now, isn't it? It's like...
Do you know what? It's like... At first, some people, and even still, was like, oh, it just seems like a bit of a negative name. I'm like, bruv, I'm 34 years of age, yeah? Being a Spurs fan and an England fan is just inevitable heartbreak, and the build-up is forever there. You're always getting built up, and we were getting built up again this season. Same thing again. And bosh, there comes the reality. And basically, that's what the podcast reflects. And, you know, I love our club dearly. Do you know what I mean? Like you guys as well. We wouldn't be sitting here recording this unless we loved our club.
Of course.
And I do often use that as a personality trait. I say to people, listen, I'm a Spurs fan. That really shows my loyalty to things. Like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
I'm still going. So yeah, that's why we set up the pod. We was, you know, I've been on a bit of a weight loss journey in the last sort of 12 months as well. because I became a fat motherfucker. And so I was like, we started going on a lot of walks and stuff, doing like 10K walks, and all we did was talk about Spurs. And so I was like, we should just turn this into a bit of a podcast, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you know, it's funny because we don't think, you know, our views aren't any more important than anyone's, but these are just our views and discuss it. Do you know what I mean? I think we're in a place in society where discussion is getting thrown out the window and everyone's just shouting over each other.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely, for sure. What comes across is that you obviously, there's a fondness between you and it's a really kind of magnetic thing. And this is the thing about podcasts, when you produce them, it's all about the chemistry between the people. There are tons and tons. There's like, I think there's between 50 and 60 Spurs podcasts that exist.
Wow.
Out there. Wow. And just podcasts in general. And it's so important to have that chemistry. And that's something you've definitely got on there. Let's talk about Spurs then. We've got a number of questions coming in. We've got a bit of a monologue by someone from our Telegram group called United by United. So I don't know his name, but I'm going to read that out and see what you feel about it. But let's start with the Everton game, John, because I've never come away from a game losing and feeling more hopeful. And I think it's completely down to how awful our football's been. What do you make of it, John?
Yeah. It's like there's a certain thing in like psychology and like motivational speaking about paradigms and basically like how you view stuff in your life can affect the outcome of like how you're actually feeling. And that's exactly like this. Essentially, this is like a 1-0 defeat. Because it was a 5-4 and there was loads of goals and it was exciting and action, I feel completely different about it than if we'd have just like borne our way to a 1-0 defeat.
So true.
So yeah. Like, do you know what I mean? That's basically what it's the equivalent of. But because it was goals and we gave it a go and we were in the game, and actually if it wasn't for like horrendous mistakes, we just bossed the game and just like scored loads of goals. So yeah, I felt more positive with that game than I did the game before when we actually beat West Brom, because I thought, oh, maybe that's just a one off. Because this was kind of built on top of that, it felt all right. Like, I felt fine. I was gutted because we went out of the FA Cup and I wanted to win. Same. I always want to win. I could deal with that much more than some of the results like Fulham, when we didn't even lose that game. I was on the floor. And like this was such a weird feeling. And I guess it does show where we are, I think, mate.
Well, John, I like the idea, the visualization of you face down on the floor, motionless, but with your head to the side.
John's bang on though about that feeling, because you like you said, Fulham, we didn't even lose it, and it felt like a loss. Wolves, we didn't lose, it felt like a loss. You know, those when we was conceding those late goals, they felt like losses. It was such a weird feeling, as you said, and we actually lost that game. And the energy felt a bit more upbeat. However, if I was to give a reflection of what the same old Spurs is, it's that. It's what happened in the week. It's like, you know, if we go back throughout the history of Spurs in terms of my tenure as a fan, you know, as I say, 1987, I was born. My first real memories of football are Italia 90. And then obviously the semi-final against Arsenal. I remember actually seeing that as a kid, and I remember the final. So, you know, having those little moments as a kid and then what we've had ever since, Spurs has been in this place where it's like, right, five or six, if we're lucky, great individuals, and the rest just let you down. And that is exactly what the Everton game was. And it was, there was great moments, and, you know, someone I've been critical of myself over the years is Lamella. Last 2.5 games, he's looked very good, like, in terms of where he should.
It's only taken him 8 years and he's finally showing up.
Yeah, I know. I think it's 165 appearances and 16 goals, which is not good at all, is it really, for the position he plays in? No. Considering Dele, I think Dele's goals are 50 and he's had about 150 appearances. So there was a lot of things to be hopeful going forward, because I think it's almost like, you know, like as a geezer going down the pub, yeah, you've been in a relationship for a long time and you think, have I still got it? Can I pull a bird? And that's kind of what our attacking prowess was like against Everton. We're still all right going forward, but we're still shit in defence. And that's what it was. And yeah, it was just, once again, the same names, the same personnel. Oh, mate, honestly, our pod the other week was about how good or bad is our squad. Because at the start of the season, when we brought people in, I think we all looked at it and went, oh, this looks good on paper. I don't know about you guys. I thought on paper, this looked good.
Against Chelsea?
No, I'm saying against at the start of the season when we brought in Doherty,
right, of course,
Big Vin,
yeah,
on paper it looked good, and it's just like, yeah, I'm with John though in terms of like I did feel a little bit more upbeat from it, and even Gazza was saying to me when we was watching it together, he's like, I've never seen you this nervous, Kev. I'm like, It's because I'm watching the game and I'm actually in it. I'm involved. I'm kind of emotionally attached to it.
Well, we spent so much time this season just sort of watching it with a side eye because it's been so boring. Whereas this,
1,000,000%,
couldn't take your eye off it. You couldn't. And it's, look, you don't want a whole season of that. You don't want to. I don't want to see that again. Next time I want to 4-1, right? Obviously, this isn't about coming away from this game and thinking, you know, oh well, at least we've got some goals. It's not that. It's just that, can this be a catalyst for us being a little bit more expansive? Do you, either of you, Madge, do you think that this performance will, that Jose Mourinho will look at the attacking abilities inside the squad and maybe go for the jugular a little bit more? Or will he think, well, I tried it, we conceded 5, fuck you, we're going back to the...
Well, this is it. He's in that position because he can come out now and say to us, look, I told you so. This is why I play how we play, because our defence is shit. Like, and, you know, he's well within his right to say that. However, you kind of think, well, you know, I always used to say about Harry Redknapp, he kind of was like, the manager was like, well, we're going to let 4 in, but we will score 6. And that's why it was so, like, fun under Harry. And I think because Jose is just not built like that, he is very much about, you know, keeping it shored up at the back and making sure that you don't concede 5 goals like we did.
But if we're winning, cool with that. Absolutely cool with it. I would happily see us shit house and stink our way to a Europa League. I would happily do that. But chances are quite small. So we're going to have to sit through the turgidness until we win something. And he's just, I don't think he's going to get the grace period that, you know, that the style of football won't allow him enough time or enough chances. Because if you gave him 10 years, and this is what Spurs were for the next 10 years, and in that time, we might win 3 FA Cups, that, you know, maybe it's likely that would happen. But would you be willing to risk it and knowing that we wouldn't win and watch this football for the next 10 years? And I think the answer probably would be no. It's not worth the risk.
Do you, Flav, do you think, though, that we're in a sort of society now and like a culture where you're basically, you have to pick a side. Like, it's got to be one extreme or the other. Because actually, I think like most fair-minded fans would say, look, I appreciate you can't play like that and you can't go chasing games like that every week. Like, for certain games, let's talk about our next game, City, right? I don't think any of us expect us to play like we did against Everton against City.
Hope not.
It'll be about 45-25. It'll be mental. So I think people are realistic or should be realistic about the fact that like certain games like that, you've got to play a way that's more pragmatic. And if you don't, you will get slapped up. I think what people want to see is that those games we mentioned, and Majestic mentioned it before, Wolves, Fulham, if we'd have played like we did against Everton, we'd have won those games quite convincingly, probably. And so that's what people want. I think people just want a balance.
Happy,
like, I don't
medium
want us to,
somewhere.
Yeah. It doesn't have to be 5-4, but 3-0 or 3-1, and just go and like put like our foot on people's necks a little bit more when it's the right time to do so. And at the minute, it seems like if you defend Mourinho's 1-0, then it's like you're anti-football and you're not allowed to like talk about how, you know, scoring goals is a good thing. If you defend a 5-4 and you say, oh, I quite enjoyed that, then it's like, oh, you don't want to win anything because we lost. And it's like, well, actually, I want both. I want it all. And we should be able to do that with a manager who gets paid 15 million. That's all I want. I want him to succeed, but I'll play in nice football when it's appropriate.
The manager gets paid £15 million and we've got a squad that can play better than it does. So that I think that you're okay to expect more. And seeing the positives in that, you know, conceding 5 against Everton isn't a negative thing. But, you know, we did lose the game. We're out of a cup. And that is what it is. And, you know, what do you think going into the Man City game, Majestic? How do you feel that game will pan out? Because for me, I think we're going to win. And I don't know why. I just feel like we'll go out there, slap them.
Do you know what? We kind of are their bogey team to some extent in the last few years. Obviously, we've had some results up there with some VAR decisions that have gone our way, etc. So there might be a little mentality thing there with Man City. They're absolutely on fire at the moment. But with Jose and his mentality, like you said, he's not going to go into that match and play expansive football. No way. But the thing is, now he's in this position where, you know, people are scrutinising him. And rightly so, as you just said, you paid £15 million a year and you're supposed to be one of the most coveted managers in club football history. And, you know, the performance, just to go back to Everton quickly, in the week, a lot of people was in that place. Well, you can't really blame Jose for that there, right? And so then, you know, there is like, we often have that thing, is it the manager, is it the players? But you have to question him when he's bringing on Harry Winks with the last in extra time, because I don't know where you guys sit on that story there with Harry Winks, because I know a lot of Spurs fans, he's one of our own, he's come from the academy, so he seems to get a bit of a bligh. But for me, you know, you're bringing on that kind of player in such an important match that, you know, I'm just looking at Jose and asking him, like, what are you seeing in these people that we don't? Do you know what I'm saying?
Winks has become a like, you know, there are Spurs fans out there that absolutely loathe him. And, you know, like you said, there's some people out there that, you know, think actually he's a part of Spurs' furniture. He's been with us for so long. Is he good enough for where we want to go? I wouldn't have thought so. I'm not comfortable all the time when he's on the pitch, but I didn't think it was a bad move when he brought him on, to be honest. It panned out to be one of the worst 30 minutes of display I've ever seen.
Worst cameo in the history of Spurs, someone said on the Twitter. I think up to it must be, surely it's got to be up there.
Well, yeah, I mean, cameo's unfortunate, because he was on for half hour, like it was a main good chunk of the game. It was just fucking awful. It was so bad, and the mistake that led to the fifth goal was summed up his game. Let's go on to some questions. But before that, I've got this idea for a little bit for the podcast. It's called Overrated or Underrated. And if it goes well, we'll put together a jingle or something and make it
Overrated or Underrated. Oh, man, I'll do the jingle.
I'm definitely going to tap you up. I'm not going to pay you, though. That's the only thing.
That's fine. I'm fine, mate. Listen, if it's Spurs, I'm there.
All right, cool. Well, I'll take it.
I pay them fuckers enough money every year with a season ticket, yeah. I tell you.
Yeah, true.
But we've not used in like 2 years. And before that, we weren't in the stadium. Jesus.
That's the thing, is the stadium, we're not even, like, we haven't really even been able to settle into the stadium. Have we played the full season?
Not at all.
It's been open for three years and we haven't completed a full season there.
My last memory of that stadium is Eric Dier trying to beat people up and Gedson with the worst penalty in the history of the world.
It shows something in the greatest moment of Spurs' recent history. Actually, the greatest moment since we were last on the League Cup is when Eric Dier tried to beat up a fan.
Yeah, that's pretty where we're at.
Where's he going? Fuck, what's he doing? He's just climbing up.
You have to put that to the WWE like commentary with like when Stone Cold Steve Austin is like, oh my God, it's Austin, it's here! Like with a Dier one, that would be good.
Yeah, fantastic. Overrated or underrated? Right, the player is David Ginola.
Ooh.
One of my favourites. Look, he's one of my favourites. He was fantastic.
Let John go first.
Cheers.
It shouldn't be a difficult question, but it actually is when you start to pick it apart.
Is, because like if I really thought about it, I'd want to say probably appropriately rated. The most vanilla answer that I'm not allowed to give. I'd have to probably say overrated, because, and I'll go against my own logic here, because I know he did win player of the year in a season that United won the treble. I get all of that. But let's be honest, if he was as good as he could have been, then he wouldn't have played for the clubs. He would have played for elite clubs in his career for longer. And at that time, we were not in that bracket. Newcastle weren't in that bracket. I think he went to Everton as well. Like
Villa.
He was never really, he was never really at the top draw clubs. So it makes me feel like the way we talk about him is an affectionate thing, because he was good for Spurs and he was that sexy Spurs type player. But yeah, maybe if I had to pick, a touch overrated, Flav.
He was the jewel in a big pile of shit when Spurs, like that season was so, it was so bad, our team. Like it was rubbish. It was 97, 98, I think. From that period through to around 2002 is probably, apart from the season we went down, which my old man says was the season in Division 1, or Division 2 at the time, was the best season he's ever had following Spurs. Just one every week. But barring those sections, it was the worst team. Like when we had an old Les Ferdinand, Anderton, who was broken, you had Ginola on the other side, Rolf, no, he's just terrible, right? But he was something that stood out. And every time he played well, it would be his name in lights. And his name in as a headline in the newspaper. The amount of times, because back then the internet weren't really a thing, and you got all your reporting and messages about Spurs through newspapers. And it's great. You waited a day. Spurs had beaten, for example, that game we beat Man United 3-1 that season. Ginola had a flyer. And the whole back page spread. Sorry, you opened the door. They opened the back page and the spread was just Ginola's face. And they made a big deal about you know, the way they photographed the game and what they used in the spread. And that reporting in football back then was at the very peak. Even in shit rags like The Sun and The Mirror, they did one thing well, and that was football. Saying all that, he wouldn't get in our team now, and the way football is. He didn't run. He only ran forward. The only time he ran was when he had the ball. That's it. Given, to be fair, you give him the ball, he dictates it, and he's dribbling abilities, and he's long hair, and he looks so good looking, and that, and all of that stuff, the L'Oreal advert, all built into it. But just as a footballer, overrated for Tottenham, which is a shame. I don't feel like this is going to be a popular bit, because we're just saying horrible opinions about our legends.
Do you know what it is? I think it's a very subjective thing, football, as we know. The opinions that everyone has is all different, and everyone's got a different experience of different players and what they like and don't like. For example, like we started doing something on our podcast. We're going to do like an SOS legend series. And how do you define a legend? So this is quite similar to the rated or underrated, because I think John's right in saying, I think he's probably rated where he should be, which is just in the middle there. Fantastic. Lovely. You've done some bits for us. If you look at numbers, like 13 goals in 100 appearances for Tottenham in an advanced position, not the best at all.
Man,
really?
Where do you keep putting all these? How do you know this shit? Where do you keep pulling these stats from?
We've got a stat man on our podcast. Big up Will Marriott, the stat man. He's always keeping me informed.
I knew that, actually. I knew that.
So, yeah, it's just like when you look at that as a goal return, not great. But the problem is, as you said, when you're in and amongst the shower of shit that we was watching at the time, it's like those moments stand out in your minds forever. Because I remember that season. I think my uncle had a season ticket at the time. So, and it was in the Paxton, and I used to go with him all the time. And there were games, I remember, against Leeds. It just bossed it, coming off that wing inside. He used to cut inside so well, didn't he? He scored a great goal against Leeds in the FA Cup. Yeah. Down and got that top bins one as well.
I was there.
Yeah, mate, great game, great goal. And I think, like you said, our affinity towards him probably overrates him, because we were dealing with such players that were just not of a standard.
We nearly went down that year, if you remember, 97, 98. We nearly went down.
Is that when Klinsmann came back and saved us?
Exactly that. We had to.
And he said, he's his press conference. It was Christmas time. He came in halfway through. He's like, I don't perform miracles. I'm not Santa Claus. I just remember that. And it sticks out of my mind.
And then he goes and bags four against Wimbledon, and we won 6-2 and keeps us up. He also scored an equaliser against Arsenal at Highbury, I think.
Is that when Moussa Saib was in our team?
Yeah, Moussa Saib.
Saib! What a name.
I know, he was awful.
Got to be up there with one of the greatest number eights for Spurs alongside Harry Winks. Number eight.
I'll pull a few names out of the 97-98 squad. We had Ian Walker in goal, Dean Austin, Justin Enbrood, who must have been ancient by that point, David Howes, Raul Fox, Alan Nielsen, and Ferdinand Armstrong, which, you know, Armstrong is underrated if we were going to do Armstrong. Mm. Stephen Carr, Stephen Clements. I have it on good authority that someone who was in Spurs' youth was completely baffled that Stephen Clements made it through to the first team. He said there were 90 midfielders during his time that were better than Stephen Clements that got released. We'll leave it there. Do you remember a player called Peter Gain? Nor do I. He was a part of our squad. Wow. Nicola Bertie as well.
Nicola Bertie, remember Nicola Bertie?
Yeah. So we were toilet, and Ginola was the guy, wasn't he?
So great goals, great hair, great look.
He was also a top goal scorer that season. Yeah, but it's just his look and he just lit up. And in terms of, you know, he was just the opposite of what Jose Mourinho was, wasn't it? It weren't really about winning.
I spoke to Raul Fox a couple of weeks ago on the podcast, and obviously George Graham came in and took over. So instantly, I think George Graham was of that mold of, it was boring Arsenal 1-0, wasn't it? And he had a great defence with Arsenal. Mm. So when he came into our team and we were just letting in goals left, right and centre, it was very much to shore up defensively. So they all thought that he wouldn't get on with Ginola and like Ginola, but he ended up. I think Ralph Fox said that he had a word with him, and kind of like then he became he got how he played and he used it to his advantage. And the other thing we have to look at as well as Spurs fans, and this comes back to the legends or not, right? I put five contributing factors to this sort of rated and underrated thing, and it's very similar to the legends. It's like, right, years of service to the club, loyalty towards the club, honours, ability, and fan favourite. Because, you know, just to throw another name out, imagine someone like Van der Vaart, for example. He wasn't there very long, didn't win anything with us, but we all fucking love him because he could do a bit, couldn't he?
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So that's the thing with Spurs. And I think this is where the whole notion of Spurs play an attractive style of football. What are you doing, Jose Mourinho? Because of players like Ginola, Van der Vaart, Berbatov. The names that we've seen over the years, Hoddle, going back to my dad says he's the greatest player he's ever seen play. Yeah. And, you know, so that's why these kind of players always stick out for us. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's just, and it's fine. Look, it doesn't really, it's difficult to compare. Football's changed greatly. And, you know, Ginola will always be remembered as, this is the thing, is what makes a legend. But there was this other question we had. So we actually were saying across the board, David Ginola, according to John Bass first, is overrated. Or was overrated.
Handsome but overrated.
Yeah. There was this question on, I think T put it in, but we discussed it on, I think it might have been another podcast, but it was about legacy and who has the better legacy if Harry Kane doesn't win a trophy or many trophies at Spurs? Is it Jamie Vardy or Harry Kane?
Ooh.
Because obviously Vardy has won a league title, isn't he, with Leicester?
Yeah.
He's also had a fascinating story coming up through the ranks, hasn't he? He's gone through Fleetwood and the various, was it Northampton he played for a bit? And then eventually Leicester and won the league under Ranieri. But Kane legacy, could it be compared to Vardy's, John?
I mean, they're different. I mean, obviously they're very different in terms of like their ceiling as well. Like if you think about like Kane consistently doing bits in the Champions League, captain of England, like he's in, like getting pretty close to England all time as well. Like he could do that and Spurs all time goal scoring records in his career. It depends on how high you value things. Like people like value, let's say like Alan Shearer's won Premier League title because he was like Premier League all time leading goal scorer above players who've won like just squad players who've won shitloads of stuff because they're more integral to their team's success. And so it just depends on your own personal opinion. Like what's more important, just having loads of trophies, essentially just being at a club like City and being like a bit part player for City, or being a player who like does everything for your club. And to a certain extent, you're limited by the players you're with or the country you play for. Like if you play for England, your chances of winning major tournaments are less. So I don't know. I think it's a really good comparison because like Vardy winning that Premier League properly muddies the waters because ultimately that is an honour that Kane would love to win. But I feel like Kane is in a different bracket. He's competing in a different bracket to Vardy, and that Leicester season is a bit of a freak.
How about you, Badge?
Yeah, it's a difficult one, isn't it? Because the thought of him beating Jimmy Greaves' number of goals gives me the hope that he will stay because he's a man that does like to win individual honours.
Seems that way, doesn't it?
He does, yeah, golden boots, etc. But I know he's hungry to win things, and in fairness, we're not delivering as a football club. And I said this the other night, Harry Kane has walked into that dressing room after the Everton game, gone, listen, guys, I've come on, yeah, and I've done my bit, I've scored, and you've let me down again. You know, like, he's such a nice Mr. Professional. I don't know how long he can stay, like, feeling that, like that. He'll be off, do you know what I mean? Because
I reckon he just kept repeating, wankers. Fucking wankers. Wankers. Yeah, talking to anybody. Just wankers. Fucking you know wankers.
He'd be like, yeah, obviously, you know, Delhi's a good player. And hopefully, you know, hopefully he plays the next season. And yeah, you know, I'm going to get Jimmy Greaves' gold. Yeah, hopefully.
Fucking hell, that is a superb. Superb.
But yeah, the thing is, this is where we're at now. Because like you said, I think John mentioned about being like a squad player somewhere or even a member of a big team at 11. Because realistically, in 10 years' time or 20 years' time, anyone going to be talking about John O'Shea? Who won how many Premier Leagues with Man United and a Champions League and all that kind of stuff. His honours list is insane.
Yeah.
But, you know, you can't compare John O'Shea to Harry Kane, obviously, completely different players. But what I'm saying is, it's like, I think with Harry Kane, and I've always said this, he's very intelligent. You know, stay in that one-man club vibe, and, you know, if he beats Jimmy Greaves' record and whatever else and goes on, and hopefully we do go on to win something, we should, we're good enough. He then has that legacy forever. That legacy goes on. And obviously with him being a big NFL fan, you know, the whole sort of Tom Brady thing, that, you know, everybody talks about Tom Brady, don't they? Because of what he's done personally. And even though he's moved around to go and do it as well, it's like he definitely seems to be a man that likes those notches and goes, right, I'm going to get to that next one. I'm going to get that, going to get that. But there was a video circulating around today of him 4 years ago going, look, if we've not won anything in 3 years, it will be disappointing. So I don't know where his mind's at. But Jamie Vardy, I think if we did overrated, underrated, Jamie Vardy would be in the underrated category.
Yeah.
Because he is underrated. He is just a great striker. He does the business. He comes on. He has done it against the biggest teams. His goal ratio against the big six is insane. So, yeah, I think with Jamie Vardy where he's at now, he's got the best of both worlds, hasn't he? He's got that Premier League medal on the side. He's playing for a club that he loves. And he, like you said, John, he's gone through the ranks. So I think his legacy probably on paper looks a bit better than Harry's. However, I think Harry's will be revered more because, as you said, Flav, about what he does individually for that team. He's at that Gareth Bale level now of where it's like, remember that last season with Gareth? He just dragged us to fifth place. We marginally missed out on fourth. And a lot of that was down to Gareth Bale, and that's where Harry Kane's at now. So, listen, Carabao Cup, we need to go win it. If we win it, he might stay. Otherwise, I'm worried.
Jamie Vardy also punches fruit machines in the pub.
Oh, 100%. And he's definitely out there. He's in the pub. He's calling it on. He's having a party. You know what Jamie Vardy's like. So, he's in terms of a party, you're definitely going to go out with Jamie Vardy. Harry will be indoors with the missus and the kids like, yeah, I'm just watching the NFL rerun tonight. I won't come out.
Harry Kane's goal ratio is second, actually no, it's equal only by Thierry Henry, 0.68 a game. If he tops Alan Shearer's record, if he gets above 260 and he beats Spurs' goal scoring record, Jimmy Greaves' record, and becomes England's top goal scorer, it doesn't matter what the rest, how it doesn't matter how all of the other players have fucked him over in his Spurs' career, or any manager has fucked him over. He's on his own has achieved everything he could. And for that, he would be not only have a better legacy than Jamie Vardy, have a better legacy than any striker that ever did it in the Premier League, because on his own, he achieved everything he could possibly achieve. That if because 10 other players can fuck his day up, right? But what he's done on his own, you know, Jamie Vardy has benefited from all of the things that meant that Leicester won the league that year. So, and I'm not taking anything away from Jamie Vardy, apart from the fact that Harry Kane will always have, if he does break those records, a better legacy than Jamie Vardy.
Yep. Otherwise, we get into the world of like Divock Origi is better than Harry Kane because he's won the Premier League and the Champions League. It's like, well, that's just irrelevant. But they're both strikers, and he's won more, so he's better. Like that's patently bullshit. So yeah, we need to be in a world where like things are taken into consideration. If you're your country's all-time leading goal scorer, the Premier League all-time leading goal scorer, and your club's all-time leading goal scorer, you can't be doing much more. If you don't win stuff, it's not your fault, literally. Yeah,
completely. And the thing is as well, when you talk about things with a past sort of context, no one's sitting there going about Alan Shearer, well, before the Euro 96, he didn't score for 18 months for England. Yeah, you know what I mean? Exactly. All you do is look at, wow, he turned up and done that. When we look back in 20 years' time at Harry Kane being a golden boot winner at the World Cup, it's not that he scored against Venezuela or whoever we played. I can't even remember. It was not the best teams. So I do think, you know, his record and his individual ability speaks so much volumes. But obviously, there's so many sort of Spurs haters out there. They'll always use the trophy thing against us and against them. And you know what? Just a quick point on that. So, you know, I'm talking on your podcast. I just wanted to speak to you guys about, you know, this sort of bashing we've had with being trophyless, etc. When in actual fact, if you compare us to the likes of, you know, Everton or Aston Villa or other clubs who I'd say are similar stature to us in terms of legacy and things like that, you know, they don't get half as much abuse as we do. And then people will use that and go, yeah, but you lot are deluded. I'm like, no, speak to a lot of Spurs fans. We know what we are. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I think we get more stick because people do take us more seriously than Aston Villa and Everton. And I get we are comparable in our history, you know, Everton were incredible in the 80s. Villa were also fantastic in the 80s as well, winning stuff, European Cups. Everton would have won a European Cup if they weren't banned because of Liverpool's fans' behaviour in Turin. But, no, is it Turin? Oh, wherever they were.
I think it was Turin, yeah.
Yeah, Heysel, wasn't it?
Heysel. No, so it was in Heysel, but it was against Juve. Anyway, it doesn't matter. The So they were fantastic. And Spurs, well, we had our day pretty much in the 60s with little splashings of glory in every decade apart from the last three. So we, the history's comparable, but nowadays, based on where we've been finishing and how significant the moves have been made in the last 10 years, the magic that Pochettino did, attracting managers like Jose Mourinho, whether you like him or not, his stature is unrivaled by, probably only rivaled by Pep Guardiola at the moment. So yeah, we're a level above those. And for that, people don't like Tottenham. And our fans have, while we're not deluded, definitely not deluded, everybody's acutely aware as Spurs fans how awful we've been at getting over the line. And I don't think there's anything in bottling it. It's bullshit. Just a game of football every 90 minutes, essentially. So there's not you're not bottling it if you get beat by a fantastic Liverpool side. It's just a game of football where on the day Liverpool were better. And that's happened too many times. But yeah, I just think I love it. I absolutely love it. I love it when people dig out Spurs and have a go at us and come at us. Because it means they have an issue with us. We are heavily disliked.
Because even I was speaking to Tim Lovejoy the other week on the pod as well, and he's obviously Chelsea, and he was like, you know, in all of his time of doing like sports related broadcasting and stuff, when he speaks to other fans, it's just like, you know, Chelsea hate Spurs, Arsenal hate Spurs, West Ham hate Spurs.
Yeah.
Apparently. Leicester hate us as well, because our stat man, Will Marriott, he's from Leicester. So that season that they won the league, he hated it because he's a Spurs fan living in Leicester and he got so much stick. And like when we're playing them, apparently his lot are all on him. Like, yeah, we hate Spurs. I'm like, why? Like, I feel like we're that kid at the party that don't get like the invite. They don't want us there. But we're like, bro, we're turning up, bro. I've got a ticket.
Exactly. Like, we're not coming to this fucking party.
Yeah, we bullied ourselves in.
We're bringing knives.
It's N17, bro. Like, next to Rudolph's nightclub, bro. We're coming to your house regardless, bro. Let me in, bro. I'm there.
Yeah, exactly. So people they dislike us, but they can't deny us. And you know what? I don't want to be liked. Fulham are liked. People like Fulham. Yeah. Nice little football club. Fuck that. Nasty, horrible Tottenham Hotspur. That's what I want to be known as. Spit in my face. I don't give a shit. Anyway, got a question. Unity by Unity. So this is quite deep and quite heavy, but this is where he's at mindset-wise, right? At the moment, he's struggling, boys. So let's see if we can help him out here. Let's be serious about Tottenham Hotspur for just this once. We can't deny that we've been also-rans for so long, as most of us can remember, at least since 1985 for me. Recent years have shown us reach higher heights, but sadly we've fallen short at every opportunity and have ended well as also-rans. Sometimes some subjects in life do not get the rub of the coin. I know in my life I always get the one fucking product that so happens to be 40. Or I get that message when you've been dying for good news on your item of interest that we're really sorry, but it's never really changed in my 35 years. My question is this. If you really look at the club situation and the promising future we've all felt is nigh, does one really see us destined for greatness and glory in such a way that we'd like and hope? Something similar to Liverpool or City's or even bloody Leicester's success. Even just one respectable trophy, won consecutively. I just can't see it. We're always going to be the faulty product bought or the receiver of disappointing news. I just can't see a period where we simply aren't Spursy for a length of time and a consistent period of time. No matter who we have playing for us or managing us, are we cursed, boys? Will it always be this way?
Ooh, that is deep.
It is. It's like depressing, isn't it?
It is, right. But
it doesn't matter.
But look, I think this is how I would see it, right? Is let's take football out of the equation, right? Just think about life. You hear from loads of like billionaires, millionaires who like chase material things because they think that's what will bring them happiness. They get them, it's great for a bit, and then they want the next thing and the next thing and the next thing. And actually what they want is maybe an intangible thing that makes them happy. If you reapply that to football, I think it's exactly the same thing. If you put your happiness in winning trophies and that doesn't happen, you will always be miserable. Even when it does happen, it will be fleeting, because as soon as you then, you know, you win the league, the summer's over, the season starts again, it's over. And if you look at any club who's had sustained periods of success, when it falls off, which it inevitably will do, it is so much worse. If you find the joy in football in other things, so like we talk about it all the time on this pod about going to football with your mates and occasionally seeing like someone score a worldie or a youth player coming through the system and then becoming the best striker in the world. If you put your joy in those things, you're bulletproof. You will love your life and love supporting Spurs. If you put it in, invest it in essentially three trophies that only, you know, a handful of clubs will ever win, you will be miserable forever. So just change your paradigm on how you see stuff, and you will be immediately happier.
I've got to say, you're spot on there, John. And there's clues in your question, mate. And the way you identified as you feel like you're the one that's always going to receive the bad news, and yep, you're going to receive the broken item or faulty products or whatever it might be. Your mindset is creating that, and you're seeing that. So every time it happens, you double down on that feeling, and then you see you end up seeing that part of what goes wrong in your life, and not looking at the things that do go right in your life and holding on to them instead. And the longer you have that, the more unlucky you'll be, I think. And if you're watching a football team just for success and just for winning a trophy, then you're on a path to nothing, really, because it is always about the journey. And winning the Champions League would have been wonderful. Would have been absolutely wonderful under Pochettino. But if you think you feel any different right now with the situation at Spurs, you're mad. You wouldn't, because that feeling, as John said, is fleeting. And you have to live in the now. And the now is that we're pretty shit. And winning that, you know, Champions League would have made no difference. So don't hold on to that. I appreciate where the frustration comes. And I know that he doesn't live in the UK, or he might have done. But I know he's in Zimbabwe, I think, because he's got a Zimbabwean flag next to his name. So
you know what it is, boys? It's this is the problem. It's the hope that kills you, right? Yeah. And I think when you get overly invested in that, then that's when the heartbreak comes. Do you know what I'm saying? It's very similar to like what you're saying. When you change your focus, then the win's always there. It's a great point that you make, because, you know, Gazza always says to me, oh, Kev goes deep. I always go quite deep on our pod as well about spiritual stuff, because I'm quite spiritual. And I think what you're saying, John, is bang on in terms of like refocusing your mindset on things. And I think if you do that, there's a lot more joy in these things. But again, I liken it to the current situation that we're experiencing in the UK with the government and lockdowns and stuff. Giving the false hope is what kills people. And then, so for example, Jose Mourinho comes into Spurs. He wins trophies, yeah? The cup specialist. Oh, the man wins everything. We lose the FA Cup. So straight away, you go away from that thinking, well, I've been promised this guy's coming in to win things for us. Well, that's not going to happen now. Do you know what I mean? So I think that's where we end up sort of going down that sort of garden path. And we're all guilty of it. I'm guilty of it as well. When you're sitting top of the league and you're thinking, hang about, we beat City, Arsenal, Man United 6-1. Like, you start thinking, hang about, this might be the change. And I think having that mindset of, oh God, we're the cursed ones. It's like, you're right. It's 90 minutes of football. Anything can happen. Like, Leicester won the league at that point that year. Anything can happen. You know, Wigan beat Man City in the FA Cup final that time. Anything can happen in football. And that's why we love football. That's why we don't love VAR, because it's changing the landscape of that anything can happen in football. No, anything can happen, then it gets rescinded and ruined. but yeah, with the Spurs thing, it's what I find about our club, like you said, is seeing like the likes of Harry Kane go from youth academy player who was let go by Arsenal. You know, the Arsenal fans love that one with him in the shirt and all that. And we'll own that. We'll take that. We'll wear that and go, yeah, he was in your youth academy. You said he was shit. Got rid of him. We had him, put the arm around him like Harry Redknapp. Yeah, he's a terrific lad. Let the boy play. You know, he's fantastic. And we let him blossom, and he come through us, and he's a Tottenham man now. So there are those things. It is disappointing. I don't understand why, like, I can get why, like, my old man, 64. I can understand why him, who's been at White Hart Lane when we've won the UEFA Cup and Tony Parks is saving penalties and all that kind of malarkey, can feel disappointed because they've seen success. As you mentioned, John, when you've had that success and it's fleeting, you feel even worse. So you become even more emotionally removed. But for me, like, apart from seeing a couple of League Cups, I ain't really seen much success. So for me, the joy is in how we play. That's why this season's been particularly frustrating. However, the Everton game the other night was probably the first time in a long time I've been emotionally invested in Tottenham whilst watching them rather than clock watching.
Fantastic. Yeah. I agree. And it's perception. It's perception, isn't it? It's about how you choose to receive the information and the results and whatnot. So, look, mate, what I would say, if this makes you feel any better, and you know this, is that we are better placed as a football club than we have ever been, apart from 1961, where we signed and spent a huge amount of money to put that double winning squad together. Like, people, it was, in terms of money at the time, it was comparable to what Man City did. When they started splashing.
Really? See, Flav, I didn't even know that. That's really interesting. Go
huge.
Tell me a bit more about that, because me, I'll be honest with you, I'm quite ignorant to that how we went about doing that.
Well, we had money to spend, and Bill Nick wasn't worried about spending it, and the numbers looked insignificant and tiny now, but. If you go back
at the time, prices, context.
Massively, massively. And then even in through the 60s, when we signed Jimmy Greaves, everybody knows that he was signed for £99,999 because he didn't want to be the first footballer to be the first £100,000 footballer. And Tottenham were the team that paid that money. So for all intents and purposes, we bought the world's most expensive striker and he came to Tottenham. So that was the ethos around the club then. But what I would say is we are better placed now to get major trophies than we ever have been. I think we've got this huge stadium. We've got a chairman who I feel, based on his own comments about investing in the team, investing in the training centre, investing in the stadium, and now it's time to invest in the team. If that's true, then we should spend significantly or significantly enough to give us a chance. And, you know, we have that infrastructure. If you look for where the club was before Daniel Levy took over and where it is now, we are light years ahead than where we would have been if it would have just been ticked over.
Here's one for you boys, though, just quickly.
Yeah.
When was the last time Spurs signed a world-class football player? Tell me when, in your opinion, was the last time we signed a world-class football player?
My argument would be, because I get where this is going.
you can see already in it.
Yeah, that my argument would be that very rarely do you see clubs in England sign or very big clubs sign world-class footballers. Like, when was the last time Liverpool did it? Maybe Van Dijk, but he wasn't world-class when he arrived. He turned into be. Salah wasn't world-class. So it's often you buy players before they get to that point.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly for a club like Tottenham.
Yeah.
What about you, John? What do you think?
Well, yeah, I was thinking we've had world-class players, but they weren't world-class when we bought them. I was just thinking, like, Modric, Bale, like Lloris, for example. They weren't that level when we bought them. They've subsequently become in that top bracket of, like, world-class players. So, yeah, it's a really good question. I don't know.
1994, Jurgen Klinsmann off the back of World Cup 94. That's a world-class footballer at the time. Yeah. Big name, comes in as a big name, already done it at the highest level. That's the last time we signed a world-class football player. Like you said, it's very difficult because these players aren't. Because even like everyone's talking about Haaland for like Borussia Dortmund, etc. He's only 20 and he obviously comes on massive reputation, and there's talks of City should go out and get him, etc. But he's still not world-class yet, is he?
He's going to be.
Yeah, those world-class players don't really make the moves now, do they? They're normally at the clubs that they're at. Like you've mentioned, Van Dijk, he was on the cusp as well. So, yeah, I think football has changed so differently. I think it's hard because everyone always forgets, like with the argument about Ndombele, you know, I don't know how you guys feel about him. We'll come to that. But he was one of the most sought-after players in Europe, and we managed to nab that signature. Obviously, it's taken a bit of time for him to come to fruition, and he's still got a bit of a way to go. But, you know, you do have to sometimes look at, we have spent some money in the last few years, and yeah, there's definitely progress, but it's just not necessarily clicking just yet, is it?
No, No. And we'll see. John, do you need to go, mate? You got work and stuff.
I do. I've got to go. Majestic, been a pleasure. If anything, I should be paying you for just listening to that voice. a real delight. Look, let's hope we fuck up City at the weekend. I agree with what we were talking about earlier. I think we've got a hoodoo over them. I'm all for shithousing away to a win as well. So quite happy to do that. And
we need it.
A pleasure. Come on, you Spurs.
Cheers, John.
Later, boys.
Lovely. Peace. I've got just one more question before we finish, Madge. Thanks again for giving us all your time.
No, thanks. We definitely need you on ours, mate, as well. We'll have a good old chin wag.
I was going to say, I noticed that Last Word on Spurs were on there, and like, how did they get in? I'm not that they're undeserving of an invite, but should have come to us.
I met Jamie up Talk Sport actually when I did D-Day on Delhi with Ade, who does Talk Sport 2 up there. So yeah, I met him on there. I was like, oh, pop on. I think it's brilliant. I think it's great for all of us Spurs contributors to all get together and just mix it up and throw the opinions around. And I think that's the wonderful thing about Spurs. It's like, you listen to any of the podcasts, everyone's got a different take on it and a different angle, but we all love our club. And I think that energy is very important. And speaking with old Lovejoy the other week, and he was giving it the absolute buzzer about Chelsea, which is fair enough. You know, he's entitled to that because they have won things, and he pulled out his Premier League champions when they won the Premier League, and he's got like the ribbons from the actual trophy and stuff all framed up. So he was having his moment. But he did even say about, you know, when they sacked Frank Lampard and that, the club feels a little soulless, and it's like, am I just paying to fund some geezer's yacht? Like, what? They're in that position. So it is kind of like, be careful what you wish for. Do you know what I mean? Because you will lose the essence of the club. And I think,
I didn't buy that, Majestic.
What are you saying?
Yeah, like, it wasn't just him. Lots of Chelsea fans are saying it. It's like, you can't have everything. You can have your Champions League trophies, your Premier League trophies, your FA Cups, all the shit that Abramovich has bought them. Mm-hmm. You can't then go, because he does something you don't like, go, actually, nah, we ain't got any soul. You never had any soul. You've been soulless for years. You can't now go, oh, we haven't got any soul. We know you ain't got any soul. It's been years. But yeah, it's... I think they've just, because they've had all the successes, and they just wanted Frank Lampard to be as
well. It's easy to, with hindsight and preaching from the gold towers, to be like, yeah, you know, forget the winning all the time, you know, and the trophies and that, you
it's
know,
about the journey,
and all that. So, listen, football is a funny thing, and people's opinions are, you know, they are based on emotion a lot of the time. So when you see the rants coming after the games, everyone's quite emotionally fueled.
Yeah.
So. And it's just like, that's why we're trying to keep a level of consistency when we talk on our podcast. Of like, one of our friends even tried to say the other day that, like, you know, we've changed our tune on certain players. And I'm like, no, that's not true. We're just saying, like, someone like Ndombele, for example, it's kind of fallen back into type. He's become a little bit lazy the last 2-3 games, when before he was bossing it a bit more. Do you know what I'm saying? And we need him to have that consistent level of games, 6, 7, 8 games in a row where he's doing it, because he will be an integral part of that team.
Yeah,
so
I'd say, as someone who's been recording a podcast for 10 years.
Yeah, mad, bruv.
Mate.
Well done, bro.
Yeah, sorry, that weren't a humble brag. It was me just, I was just saying.
No, sick, bruv.
Thank you, mate. Thank you very much. But look, what I'm about to say is that the amount of times you end up contradicting yourself and you're making a hypocrite of yourself is, you've got to let it go, because I can't 100%. Remember what I said 2 weeks ago. Like, I've flip-flopped on Jose Mourinho more times than anybody. And now I just go to reserve that. The right. It's like, what I believe, what I'm saying right now is what I believe. I truly believe right now.
Yep.
Next week, I might believe something different. And it basically means you can't trust a word that comes out of my mouth.
you're just sick of the glory.
Yeah, it's up to you if you listen to the pod or not. But whatever comes out of my mouth is likely to be bollocks.
But it's entertaining bollocks that helps people get through their day. So hats off to you, sir. And what a fantastic service you've done for Spurs fans for 10 years, mate.
Oh, what a lovely thing to say. Thank you, mate. One more question before we go. And you wasn't prepped for this. So I'll answer it first and then you can give it a go.
I'm ready.
Højbjerg's goal against Liverpool made me think about what are some of the best goals we've scored in games you'll never, ever want to watch again. That's from Nathan DePaul. Over in the States. So I'll go first and give you a second to think and see if you can come up with anything. But hands down, Eric Dier's header against Arsenal to put us 2-1 up season before last.
Yeah, and I remember
He ran over to the Arsenal fans and shushed them. That image of him shushing them is one of the greatest things I've ever seen. And we can't use it because we lost the game 5-2?
Yeah.
4-2? I can't remember. We lost 4-2 or 5-2.
I remember that game because I was in LA. So my manager's based in LA and I was over in LA working. And I had to get up at like 6:30 in the morning. And there's a Spurs bar in LA. So they take over this bar. So I watch the games and that.
I know
it's
the guys. Yeah.
Sick.
LA Spurs,
Yeah, LA Spurs, fantastic guys. I'm telling you now, the atmosphere in there was like being at White Hart Lane. It was brilliant.
Do you know what I want to do, Madge? I want to take the Fighting Cock over to the States because a couple of them have groups have invited us over, just saying, "Come on, come over, it'd be great." It's just the cost, isn't it? It costs so much to fly over there, and it'd be a 2-week jolly. It'll be messy and stuff. But
I know people.
100%.
I know people, mate. Yeah, I know people. I'll get the old Virgin Airline hookup for you.
Fuck yeah, serious. I would definitely take you up on that.
Yeah, let's go. But I remember that game, and you're right. That moment when he went up there and he shushed them, it was. See that's where I'm torn with Eric Dier because he's got that in him. That quiet in your mouth and the hard night, and he's fighting with his brother. Then he's got all the mistakes in him and. Like I often make this comparison that, you know, because he was always getting in the team and Jose's got his arm around him. They're always on a jolly up over at Nando's getting the spicy nuts in the spicy olives, talking Portuguese to each other. And that's why he's in the team all the time. But that is a great goal to pull out. I think for me, Jermaine Defoe's goal against Arsenal. Again, it's always against Arsenal. 5-4.
That goal was disgusting. It was so
that
good.
That game is very similar to the Everton game. You feel like you don't. You haven't necessarily lost it because I think we was about 3-1 down at one point, and it was just such an entertaining game. And I think that must be about 2005-06. So I was like fresh out of sixth form, whatever. So I was definitely in the boozer before the game and all that kind of stuff. You know when you're proper going up Tottenham and you're drinking loads.
I mean,
and all that
I miss it so much.
Yeah, they're the best days, and you have a great time. So that goal definitely sticks out in my mind. There's got to be a few more where we've been absolutely battered and there's been a worldie from us as well.
That one Defoe scored that goal. It's just such a freakish shot. Just came in off the upper stanchion, just fantastic goal, but again, like, meant nothing. It was back then Arsenal was slapping us about week in, week out. Any of the Arsenal ones. For me, that Eric Dier one, just because the iconic image of him doing that shush, because we could have put that everywhere. I would have absolutely loved it. All right, mate. I think we're done. So it's same old Spurs.
That's right. Yeah. So it's same old Spurs pod on like Instagram and I think Instagram's same old Spurs pod. I don't even know. Just sameoldspurs.com. We have the website which gives everything. Because you know what it is. You know what it's like with the podcast stuff. It's like, how do I listen? Go sameoldspurs.com and then you can choose whatever you like to do. Some people are like Apple Podcasts, some people are like Spotify, etc. So yeah, sameoldspurs.com across all the socials. And we release every Monday. We record on a Sunday and release on a Monday. And yeah, we like I said, the big thing to watch out for coming, we've got the SOS Legends. And this is a good one to ask you, Flav, and see if you're going to co-sign the legendary status of this player. It's Darren Anderson's our first player that we're putting on the SOS Legends. And we had a bit of mixed feedback on that from some of our own listeners.
He is remembered. He was a better player than people remember him, I think.
Thank you. I'm clapping you for that, Flav. 100%. People forget, like, you know, that goal against Leeds in the FA Cup, top bins, 30 yards. His contribution to England. And at the time, you know, like watching Euro 96 and World Cup 98, seeing your own club players, your clubmans in those tournaments was a big deal, man. Like, because it was just full of Man United and those kind of teams. So to have a player in there. And the thing is as well, most capped Premier League player of all time for us as well. And the fact he's never had a testimonial, I think, is disgusting. And I want a champion for the Darren Anderton testimonial.
Okay, I'll get behind it for sure. The other thing with Darren Anderton, because he was a bit ungainly. Like his technique was fantastic, but because of he was quite limmy, he was quite tall and spindly. I think he's underrated because partly because of that, but his effectiveness on the ball and influencing the game from that right hand side of midfield was fantastic. Great ball, amazing vision, had a lovely strike on him, and was ravaged by injury. Like every week, you weren't sure whether he was going to play, And I think that's done him a bit of a hindrance as well.
100%. And we really get into that on this Legends episode with
well,
him.
I'm
and
he, to that
he, call, he calls out a few people and stuff. And he
well,
really.
You're talking to him.
Yeah, yeah.
How the fuck are you getting all these people, Majestic?
Listen, I got people and places, mate.
You got connections.
Yeah, yeah. Nice. We have an over an hour long conversation with him, and we took it through from when he literally gets signed up by Pompey as a youth player, yeah, all the way through. And he's just so open and honest. He's just a little backstory. So basically, I met Darren. He played at my stag do. So I did. There was a thing called Play with a Legend. I don't know if you've ever heard of it. You can like play with a football legend.
Yeah.
And you know, when we come to stag do, and I'm not really that, obviously because I get to travel a lot with my job. I've been all over the world, etc. And I'm not really that guy that wants to go to Prague for a weekend. That's not me.
No.
So I'm like, I love football. Why don't we play football with one of my heroes? And Darren Anderton was the guy that I'd had on my shirt every time. That purple kit, number 9 on the back. Darren, I even used to try and like move my mouth like him. It's so weird. Like, I was playing number 9 when I was a kid. Same kind of thing from midfield. I instead of the right foot, I had a left foot on me. And he was my idol. So for me to do, obviously, the SOS Legends thing. But yeah, we had him play at my stag do. He played the full 90 minutes, no injuries. Nice. And he played one half on one team and one half on the other. So I got to play with Darren Anderton and like ping balls over to him and receive a ball from him. He had his free kick, and my old man was in goal for the other team. He lobbed my dad. It was such a sick shot. Like, you know, when you just see someone with ability beyond like your own belief, and you watch it and you're like, that's unreal. So yeah, so I'm very fortunate enough to get Dazza on there, and we're just trying to, well, this is the thing, this is why your rated overrated was a brilliant section, because just trying to work out who can be considered a legend of Tottenham is difficult, because obviously our success says we've not had that much in the last 30 odd years. However, you can argue the case that someone like Michael Dawson might be a club legend because he was so Mr. Tottenham. Mm. Do you know what I mean? Is it honours? Is it what you've done for the club? Is it loyalty? What is a legend?
Do you know who might be good for you? Mickey and he would 100% do it. Mickey Hazard, because I remember
legend.
He's been on the pod a few times, and a lovely, lovely, lovely guy. But more to the point, he has a genuine argument about what is a legend.
Oh, I like that.
So you reach out to him. He'll definitely do your pod. And because he's like, I remember us having this conversation, like, what is a legend? What is a legend to you as a fan? And we've got deep down into it. I feel like, I'm not sure, either he feels like he's not considered that way, although I think he is, or he thinks that players that aren't deserving of that moniker it gets thrown around too easily are called legends. So hit him up on Twitter. He'll definitely do it. He's such a lovely man.
I think we've got people like Pat Jennings lined up.
Jennings,
which is
Shovelands.
Yeah, yeah.
He would catch the ball. My dad used to talk about him. He would catch the ball with one hand, like a cross. Yeah. Imagine that.
Exact
imagine the goalkeeper doing that.
My dad says.
Really, really.
Yeah, exact same thing. And obviously, like, I'm half Northern Irish, so like the big man talking like that. So it is what a bird. And he talks so softly, doesn't he? So he does. So yeah, it'd be an interesting one. So yeah, definitely.
That's fantastic. Well, there you go.
What to look out for?
Go and check out the pod. But also more than that, because it's often if people get into their habits and they get the podcast that they like. And the Fighting Cock isn't the best podcast out there, but we've benefited from being early and being there, you know, 10 years ago when there was one other Spurs,
yeah,
the Spurs show, and I think Cock on Ball podcast, right? We were there and we benefited from the crest of a wave, and people get into habits and they enjoyed listening to us to talk for whatever reason they do. But there are tons of these decent podcasts popping up. So just after we next, maybe just wait until we win a game if you want. Or you want to listen to something, you want to listen to more than just one podcast, then pop over to yours, because it's genuinely good. And I listened to it, I was like, shit, man, the production's so fucking good. I'm really envious. But
thank you, bro.
No, it's good, man. It's good work. And more decent content, the better. And obviously the music as well. It's just fantastic.
Yeah, no, listen, as I said, I'm eternally grateful for getting me on and being able to chat to your audience. Because I know... Blood, bro. Listen, as I said, we'll get you on ours. It'd be great. It'd be great for you to come talk with Gazza as well, because Gazza's he's a great laugh, and his football analysis is brilliant.
Yeah,
and
he was very good. Very good.
He's absolutely gutted. He couldn't be here today because obviously he's working and whatever else. So big up to Anthony, aka Gazza. Can't forget him. We often have a laugh because obviously I do get often a few showbiz moments, don't I? Like through my musical career, because and so when I get to mention the podcast, he's like, oh, are you going to bring me? I'm like, yeah, of course I am, you dickhead. Come on.
He's more than welcome. Absolutely.
Yeah.
We'll do it again in a month or so, or towards the end of the season, see what's what. And yeah, bring Gazza on. And yeah, whenever you need me, I'm available.
I'm ready for you, brother. Thanks so much. And big up to all the Fighting Cock fans out there and up the Spurs. Listen, win, lose or draw, we love our club. And you can't take that away from us, whether we win a trophy or not.
Indeed. Indeed. Thank you, mate. Up the Spurs.
Big up.
Podcast Network. Sports Social Podcast Network.
Geico asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance? Of course you would. And when it comes to great rates on insurance, Geico can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with homeowners or renters coverage. Plus, add an easy-to-use mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more, and Geico is an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com or contact your local agent today.
Sports Social Podcast Network. 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 Sports Social Podcast Network.
Geico asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance? Of course you would. And when it comes to great rates on insurance, Geico can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with homeowners or renters coverage. Plus, add an easy-to-use mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more, and Geico is an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com or contact your local agent today.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Geico asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance? Of course you would. And when it comes to great rates on insurance, Geico can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with homeowners or renters coverage. Plus, add an easy-to-use mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more, and Geico is an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com or contact your local agent today.
Sports Social Podcast Network. Sports Social Podcast Network. Sports Social Podcast Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.